Let's pray. God in heaven, thank you again for this opportunity to come before you and as a group, as a church, to recognize what you've done on the cross. It is amazing grace. Each day and each month and each year, as we walk and grow in your grace and your mercy, we become more and more aware of what it actually cost you. And yet we're only scratching the surface. So Lord, as we consider that cost here on Good Friday, will you speak to us by your Spirit? Lord, use me however you see fit. Whatever you want me to say, I say, and whatever you don't, don't. We'll be careful to give you all the glory in your Son's precious name. Amen. Amen. So again, welcome to Good Friday service. And as reading this week, Passion Week, Holy Week, whatever your preference is, I'm calling it. A couple of weeks ago, I was just considering the story, preparing, and the text that we read this evening to start us off from Matthew 27. I couldn't help but find that I found the theme of loss over and over again, and just realizing how far away I was, and I'm sure for those of you who've put your trust in Christ, how lost you were without him. But as I was considering and reading in Matthew 27 specifically, although the account is in all four Gospels, just considering the word lost. There's several words in the Greek for the word loss, but the one specifically that stood out to me is makrin. It's the Greek word for loss, and it means a great way off. A great way off. Not only does it mean that it's a great way off in distance physically, but it is a great way off spiritually. If you've joined us here at Renew, we're going through Ephesians. Ephesians 2:13 says, "But now you have once been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away, or makrim, you've been lost from God, but now you've been brought near to him through the blood of Christ." So again, considering the passage that we've read, I want to look at three perspectives this evening of people who were makrim, who were lost. We won't spend a lot of time on each one, but just a taste of it. The first one, the first person, the obvious one, I think, would be Barabbas. He was lost. Then the perspective of the crowd being lost. Then the perspective of Pilate being lost. A great way off. And the interesting thing about this Greek word about being a great way off in distance and spiritually, but in distance is you can be a great way off, 100 miles off from where you're supposed to be, or you can be 3 centimeters and still be a great way off. And so it is with us without Christ. So the first person as we're considering is that who was lost, who was makrin, was Barabbas. As we read this story, we see Jesus going to the cross, and everything seems to be going like all other crucifixions during that time period. His was a little extra special because he carried his own cross. Not all people who were sentenced to death by crucifixion would have to carry their cross, but to make it extra, Christ carried his cross. Yet there is one guy that seems to interrupt and the story that's just thrown into the story. His name is Barabbas. We don't know a ton about him. What we know from the other Gospels and from Matthew is that he is a murderer, that he's an insurrectionist. He was someone who plotted and executed a rebellion against the Roman government. For all intents and purposes, he was sentenced to death pretty quickly after he was caught and arrested. extra biblical text tells us that he was didn't really have much of a trial, this Barabbas. He was caught red-handed, and he admitted to everything that he did. Yes, down with the Roman government. So this story about Jesus going to the cross appears to be interrupted, or at the very least, another person seems to be crossing paths with Jesus. But in this moment, as we read about Pilate, what we're seeing is Pilate is trying to rid himself of Jesus. He comes up with the idea to offer up another guy who was awful in every way, a murderer. Pilate had to have thought he held the fate of two men in his hands. He thought he was going to get rid of it, not have to deal with it. And then, as we read in verse 15, that the governor's custom each year during the Passover celebration was to release one prisoner from the crowd, anyone they wanted. It was a way that the Romans thought would appease the Jewish people and keep them in control. We'll release one person. Basically, anyone on death row gets a free do-over. But Barabbas, Macron, lost. I'm taking liberties here as we consider Barabbas, but I just imagine him sitting in his prison awaiting this crucifixion. I would imagine as Barabbas was brought out to be compared to Jesus, the Messiah or Christ, to be offered up, what would be going through his head? I would imagine he was thinking, there's no way they're going to pick me. Rome, I want to destroy Rome. And Pilate asked, whom do you want me to release? Crowd, who do you want? Pilate thinks, this innocent man, Jesus Christ, or this murderer, Barabbas. Other translations, and then the other Gospels actually call Barabbas Jesus Barabbas. Pilate was asking, essentially, what Jesus do you want? Jesus Barabbas can be translated, is translated, son of a earthly father or small father, where Jesus Christ is son of the eternal father. Which Jesus do you want? Who do you want? Barabbas, this murderer, this lost man, this man against everything ordered, this madman. And then all of a sudden, the crowd says, Barabbas. I would have to imagine he was thinking, wait, what? Oh, goody. See, these two men standing before us is one of the greatest dichotomies we ever read in the Bible. Jesus, Barabbas, the son of a father, small father, or Jesus Christ, the son of the eternal father. And here we watch and wait and see who is picked. And you know the story. We read this story. But the crowd picks Barabbas. Essentially, what the crowd is doing, this lost crowd, which we'll talk about in a moment, when they shout out Barabbas, what they're choosing a lost man, because what they're saying is, we want liberty, liberty without accountability. We want freedom without faith. Choosing Barabbas cost you nothing. Barabbas was lost. He was condemned to death, but Jesus took his place. Barabbas was guilty but did not have to die for his crime, at least not yet, because of the one who was innocent died in his place. Likewise, Christ died for us. And it wasn't so much that the people were picking Barabbas, they were rejecting Jesus. I just want you to consider that for a moment. It wasn't so much they were picking Barabbas to set free, they were saying anyone but Jesus. the rejection of the crowd. The crowd backed a criminal. It was a way more than not just choosing the life, but choosing death. Essentially, and what we see even today is, I want my way. Barabbas is us in many, many ways, a lost individual. It's not just choosing Barabbas, but it's rejecting Christ. But the perspective of a lost man, Makran, loss, a great way off, was a man. The other perspective is the perspective of the crowd. Look at the response of the crowd, Matthew 27:20, verse 23. Just if you have to close your eyes, if you just consider, just imagine being in this crowd, watching this happen. In verse 20 of Matthew 27:20-23, it says, meanwhile, the leading priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas to be released and for Jesus to be put to death. Notice that. Don't only ask for Barabbas to be forgiven, released, but also ask Jesus to be put to death. This is the same crowd that most scholars, 99% of the scholars, think these were the same people just 5 short days ago that were saying, Hosanna. How quickly we can change. In verse 21, so the governor asks again, just in case you guys didn't get it, you're choosing wrong. So the governor asks again, which of these two Jesuses, Jesus the Son of God or Jesus the son of a small father, which of these two do you want me to release to you? And the crowd shouted back, Barabbas. This crowd is lost, Makran, far off. And then verse 22, Pilate says, responds, then what should I do with Jesus who is called the Messiah? And they shouted back, crucify him. You know, technically, they could have said nothing. See, if we are reminded that in the festival, the governor is allowed to release one person of a crime that he was sentenced to. Do you remember Jesus isn't convicted of any crime? Technically, according to Roman law, the crowd could have said nothing. And that would have been the end of it. You see that us, the world, it's not only do we want nothing with Jesus, we want him to be dead. Verse 23, Pilate asks, why? Why? What crime has he committed? Remember, he hasn't committed a crime, according to the Roman government. But the mob roared even louder, crucify him. See, they couldn't come up with a crime. Jesus Christ didn't commit a crime. They just wanted to get rid of him. Not only does the crowd pick Barabbas, but they reject Jesus and yell, crucify. See, picking Barabbas is saying, I don't want repentance, I don't want to change. Yelling out crucify means I do not want to have to deal with my sins, let alone do I want to surrender. I like what John Stott says. I think he sums it up so well for a Good Friday. service. John Stott says this, before we can begin to see the cross as something done for us, we have to see it as something done by us. I've read that quote 10 times, not to cry. But do you see that, though? Before we can begin to see the cross as something done for us, we have to see it as something done by us. Choosing Barabbas cost you nothing, but choosing Jesus cost you everything. Barabbas was asking nothing of them. He was not asking for repentance. He wasn't asking for accountability. He wasn't asking to die to self. He wasn't asking to change your life, to allow him to change your life. Barabbas was simply asking for nothing. And if given the opportunity, our flesh says that's what we want. The choice between the two, and who do we pick? Who do you pick? And yet, we're reminded from the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 53:5, but he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Christ did all those for each one in the crowd who yelled out Barabbas and then yelled out crucified to whoever turns to him. The very one the world wants dead is the one who died for the world. And perhaps it is easier for you, as it was for me, to sit here and look at myself as Barabbas, a lost man that Jesus quite literally, physically, went to the cross instead of Barabbas. Yet he did that for us, of course. But quite literally, Barabbas is the one who Jesus physically took that cross. Yeah. And it's easy again for us to sit here and think, I'm a Barabbas, he took my spot. Hallelujah, I am saved. And hallelujah, you put your trust in Christ. Yes. But it's much more difficult to see us, ourselves, myself, as one in the crowd yelling out, Barabbas, crucify. That Christ took your place on the cross, but yet we must see that we also are the ones in the crowd who were lost. Macron, lost, crucified. And quickly, the last person here that we can see, which tends to be the tricky one that see that's lost, is Pilate. He was Macron, lost, because he didn't make a decision. He didn't want anything to do with Jesus, and he neither was for him or against him, which adds up to equal to he was against him. Pilate was thinking, this guy is just a decent guy. He knows the religious leaders are envious. His wife has a bad dream, sends him a note, says, leave him alone. He hasn't done anything, and yet Pilate's response is, I don't want to make a decision. Unwilling to make a decision about his faith, he passes it off. How many people pass off their decision in faith? I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to make a decision. You do you. Jesus is a cool guy for you. I will neither talk bad or for him. I wash my hands. It's a dangerous place to be standing on both sides of the fence. That's why we're told either hot nor cold. He is lost. He is Macron. Pilate is probably thinking, I'm not as bad as Barabbas, and I'm not the killers in the crowd. I'm doing nothing. And in doing nothing, he is lost. So as we consider these three groups of people and individuals who are lost, just consider again Barabbas, the worst of the worst, was lost because of the sins he committed. The crowd is lost because of their desire to choose the easy route, the nothing route. And not only rejecting not only accepting Barabbas, but rejecting Christ, and then being lost as Pilate, who is neither hot nor cold, who's not willing to make a decision. As Pilate says in verse 23, why, Pilate demanded, what crime has he committed? But the mob roared even louder, crucify him. 24, Pilate saw that he wasn't getting anywhere and that a riot was developing, so he sent a bowl of water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. Oh, no, you're not. And all the people yell back, we will take responsibility for his death, we and our children. So, verse 26, so Pilate released Barabbas to them. We don't know really what happens to Barabbas after that. There's a lot of theories out there. But at this moment, he's left. He's free to leave. And Pilate orders Jesus to be flogged with a lead-tipped whip. He turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. Lost. The whole crowd here is lost. Macron. And from there, we'll read the rest of the story. Matthew 27, at verse 32. Along the way, they came across a man named Simon, who was Cyrene, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. And they went out to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. The soldiers gave Jesus wine mixed with bitter gall, but when he had tasted it, he refused to drink it. After they had nailed him to the cross, the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. Then they sat around and kept guard as he hung there. A sign was fastened above Jesus' head announcing the charge against him. It read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. Look at you now, they yelled at him. You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross. The leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders also mocked Jesus. He saved others, they scoffed, but he can't save himself. So he is the King of Israel, is he? Let him come down from the cross right now, and we will believe in him. He trusted God, so let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even the revolutionaries who were crucified with him ridiculed him in the same way. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lem sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. But the rest said, wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to save him. And Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. The whole world was lost. And so were we before Christ. What makes Good Friday so good is that it was so bad for Jesus. What makes Good Friday good is he didn't stay dead. What makes Good Friday good is he really did die. What makes Good Friday good is we were once lost, but now we're found. We will receive communion together. There will be a few guys that will pass out the elements. I invite you to receive communion if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've recognized that you were once lost, Macron, so far off the mark, yet you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Again, we'll sing a few songs, three songs, and then we'll receive communion. And really, I just invite you, as we do this, to just consider the three perspectives. Again, Barabbas, the crowd, and Pilate. And wherever you were before you came to know Christ, thank God you are not there any longer. And then I also want you to just consider, is there someone in your life that you know that is Macron, that is lost? Exactly like a Barabbas who is totally bad, totally wicked, totally far off. Someone in the crowd who's just mixed in with the crowd, who would not so much is rejecting Jesus as much as picking Barabbas, picking something else. Or perhaps there's someone in your life who is more like Pilate, who's just saying, hey. Will you pray for that person or that group of people, that family member, that friend? Jesus died for them too, awaiting the good news. Let's pray. Father, as we read the story and considered these three groups of people who were lost and recognized that we were once lost before you came and found us, saved us, will you help us just reflect as we sing songs, Lord, to you, songs of worship, as we've worshiped you through your word. And we will worship you with songs, Lord. Lord, if there's anything in our life that is not of you, will you reveal it now and help us repent and change from it? Lord, if there's anyone in our life that who may fit into one of these three perspectives of the crowd, will you give us boldness to share the good news, to pray for them, to encourage them, Lord? Lord, thank you for this Good Friday to help us take time to reflect on what it cost you. And Lord, as we are so excited for the Resurrection Sunday, Lord, let us not rush too quickly to get there. Yet we live on this side of the resurrection, but let us not rush to avoid anything that needs to be dealt with. Lord, we are just thankful. Lord, as we come here tonight to look back and to remember and to celebrate with hearts full of thankfulness, we just want to come in agreement and say in one voice, we choose Jesus the Messiah. So as we sing unto you, we love you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.